Lee, we were right now supposed to be in a recession.
Oh, yeah.
All the right people said so.
Yep, sure did.
Not just the commentators, by the way, in the business channels, but the guru, largest bank in the world, JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon. Oh, yeah, I'm headed for a recession, no doubt. And the Trump tariffs, they are going to, you know, just drive us right over the edge. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be tariff-mageddon. That was the actual word they used. Tariff-mageddon. And it was going to tank the economy. This was fact. No other viewpoints were allowed. I want to remind you what that sounded like way back in April.
This is an economic Armageddon that's coming for the U.S. consumer and the economy.
You see all of his cabinet members, his other aides, going on TV and you know, glorifying the tariff-mageddon we have just been through and are still going through.
President Trump shrugs as the stock market plunges and the dollar weakens amid warnings that his tariffs could throw the United States into a recession.
Guess that didn't happen.
Nope.
Consumer spending is up. What's amazing is not only are we having income growth as adjusted for inflation, we're having real income growth too, not adjusted for inflation. And we're also having it, the income growth in the blue collar is driving that. I've never seen that except once briefly in the last Trump administration.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That has not happened in 60 years. We have had the biggest blue collar wage growth in 60 years, i.e. the way other people will say it, ever recorded, because that's when our financial history basically ends, when we started tracking these things, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe under Lincoln or something once it was good. I don't know. But, you know, but last 6 years, biggest growth, 1.7% in wages, blue collar wages in 6 months. Why? Because a million illegals self-deported right out of the workforce. That's why. Less competition. Turns out Americans will do the jobs that only illegals were allowed to do, as it turns out. And what are they doing? They're spending the money. They're more confident. They're opening their purses because they see, well, if I lose my job, worst case scenario, there is another one. I can get that now. I can get a better paying job. I've got options now. 6 months, all it took. You know, this is like deja vu for me, Lee, of the last Trump administration. Yeah. When I said over and over, you know, I expected that he would fix the economy, but I really thought it would take a long time. And he, you know, did things much faster than I thought. 3% growth. Very healthy internals. And you know what is happening for the first time, too, that we haven't seen this in 4 years? When we had growth under Biden, which we did have growth, almost all of it was government growth. It was hiring in government, more government spending, things like that. Almost all of the growth in the economy in this economic report is, for the first time in quarter after quarter, it is private sector. That's what you got to have the private sector to pay the bills. So this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then again, the GDP price index was only 2%. So doing this with low inflation, not that fake inflationary growth that Joe Biden got.
Yeah.
Ah, they're spending more. See, yeah, it's a GDP. No, it's just cause stuff costs more. They're actually buying less.
Yes, exactly. And that was factual.
And they would act like it was growth, but it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
GDP price index is really good indication of inflation. We'll get the inflationary number coming up, so hopefully it's good too, but it looks like it will be if the GDP price index is good. It's only 2%.
Mm-hmm.
That is low, and it was supposed to be 2.2. So in other words, we have an economy growing at 3%. We have inflation at what looks like 2%. We'll see that number when it comes out, this week, but that's the best of both worlds. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. Even Wolf Blitzer had to admit, quote, welcome news for the U.S. economy.
Wow. That must have hurt.
It probably did. So they were all wrong. All of them.
Yep.
Wrong. And again, the tariffs were supposed to destroy everything. They may have a negative effect in the future. I don't know. But right now, all the experts are wrong. All of them. It's fantastic. And now, on to India. And you can begin to see with the EU deal, but also what he's doing with India, what the plan is for Trump. And it is genius. Unleash energy. He just ripped up the worst regulation that we have, the one that says that carbon gases, greenhouse gases do damage.
Right.
We're not going to consider that anymore. That puts the approval of permits on warp speed. He's opening up Alaska. At the same time, he's going to the EU and going, here's the deal. You're going to buy our natural gas and not Russia's. You're going to buy $750 billion, with a B, dollars a year. They said, yes, sir. And so he's opening up the capacity to provide it quickly while finding customers for it. Now, you may say, okay, well, the Democrats will come back in office and they'll put it offline again like Joe Biden did. They can, but they'll have to give up the 15% tariff revenue. And you know how Democrats hate to give up revenue. They like to give it out to their friends. Think Stacey Abrams.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Democrats are going to have to cut their throats if they want to undo all of this. He's building a triple redundant system. It's genius. And here's the other thing. And a lot of people saying to me, well, you know what, if Europe just reneges on these promises to buy this energy, well, or to make the economic investment in our country that they said they'd buy a certain amount of semiconductors, military equipment, things like that. Well, they can. They can renege on it. But guess what hits them? Automatically in this deal, 30% tariff. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be super motivated. This is not just a handshake. Hey, yeah, we'll buy your stuff. We'll buy your energy. And then they don't. They have to, or they get hit with the tariffs on the back end. That deal stays in place, and it forces Democrats to rip it up and have to do away with that revenue. It's the best hope we have to continue with the energy sales. Now we just got to get it out of the ground. Mm-hmm. But again, with the energy emergency that he declared, this is the really cool part. It's cutting the regulatory process. And we're now seeing, again, rare earth minerals mine. I mean, that was applied for permitting process 14 years ago. Boom, appeal, you know, approved in 6 months. The first coal mine to open in 30 years, approved in 6 months. And I think you're going to see that, Lee. I think you're going to see these permits that have been around, you know, application right. for drilling is 2015, yeah. 2018. Boom, 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 boom. They're going to all open. You're going to see drilling go like crazy. And what's going to happen is you're going to see a kaboom crash in the price of energy as we struggle to meet the demand, which is really cool. Now watch what he's going to do to India. He's about to work India over. And what he's going to say to them, and he is saying to them, is the first step is, hey, you better cut off the Russian, buying the Russian stuff. We're going to whack you with tariffs. You keep buying cheap oil from them. Hey, but why don't you buy it from us? Well, here's the cool thing. We don't even have enough oil to sell them. This is the customer base he's building. So he's going to have to cut deals with Saudi Arabia to get them the oil for now until we can get out of the ground. We'll get it out of the ground.
Yeah.
But he is creating a customer base for our energy, which is our best product. Mm-hmm. We got it cheap. We got the cheapest means of extracting it. And again, as I told you, and he knows this, in the last Trump administration, no one will tell you this, you go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and get these numbers, the number one growth category in the GDP, in our economy, every single quarter of the Trump presidency was minerals, mining, natural gas, oil, all of it. It's not our factories. It's not our tech. It's not what drives our economy. Maybe someday it will be, but it's not. And that's why Democrats, Lee, go right for it, because they want to gut U.S. Right. economic success. Yeah. That's why they make a beeline to it with their climate change lies.
Well, it's the quickest way to tank the economy, and it's mm-hmm. also the quickest way to build the economy, because what you got to do is just get it out of the ground and ship it out of
yep.
here. And that's what he's doing. And you know, you were talking about India. Trump also just made a deal with Pakistan. Guess who
yes.
India's biggest regional enemy is? Pakistan.
Yeah. Pakistan.
So the pressure is on India right now.
Did you see what India did yesterday? I busted out laughing. I was standing in line at the store. I just laughed. India has suddenly, within hours of hearing that they're about to get the hell tariffed
right.
out of them,
yeah.
has suddenly discovered it has rare earth minerals.
Oh, amazing.
Millions
isn't
and
it?
Millions yeah. and millions of pounds
wow.
of rare earth minerals. The one thing Trump really wants, right?
Yeah, exactly. The one thing that the Chinese say that they've got they do have the biggest share of.
So I guarantee you, when I saw that it broke yesterday,
yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, oh, I bet you within 3 seconds, a call went out from the White House to
yeah.
India.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody reaching out going, hey, you know, when we mentioned this tariff there, we didn't know about those rare earth minerals. You want to talk to us about selling to us instead of China?
Yeah.
Break the lock on China? That's coming next, right? By the way, that headline. This is what happens when you wield economic power instead of stupid missiles for dumb wars.
Yeah.
We always had way much more economic. We could do so much more with our economic power in the end, people wanting access to this market than we can with missiles and war and stomping all over the world
mm-hmm.
like a bunch of idiots. Things are looking up. I can't wait to see this. But again, I'm going to predict you're going to have mine after mine after mine after just so many mining operations for natural gas, for oil, for everything, just announced boom, 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 boom. And he's already setting up the customers for it. And that's going to be guaranteed economic boom. We can beat their slave labor by selling energy and by using it in our factories once we unleash it. It's just, it's all coming together and it's so fast. And I'm so excited. And I'm just so excited. Let's see, you're India. And in the first week of July, you thought it'd be cute to meet with Russia and India as part of Russia and China as part of BRICS to further plot in a very public meeting to destroy America's currency. And you didn't even bother to say thank you when we moved our Apple phone production, all of it from China, where they were stealing our tech, to India. When we took half the engineers you have off your hands. You thought it'd be cute to hang out with Russia and China plot to overthrow our currency to our faces. Bet they're regretting that this morning. Yeah, good luck with a 25% tariff when we're your number one trading partner. Mm-hmm. We buy almost 20% of what they export, or we did. Now it's got a 25% tariff on it. Trump says it'll go to 50 if they don't capitulate and stop buying Russian oil. And whose oil does he want them to buy? Ours. As he clears out the regulatory hurdles to pull it out of the ground. And folks, there is a game changer here, okay? Because he ripped up the Democrats, climate change regs, threw them out. He did this because he declared an energy emergency. Remember the thing one of the probably top five things I was most afraid the Dems would do? They were getting ready in Biden's second term, or maybe her first term, to declare a climate emergency. That would allow them to seize means of production of both food and fuel. It's what communists always do. They do it every time. Look at all their regimes, authoritarian regimes. And they could do it using a lever act. New York Times was pushing it already and saying that was the game. I've been reading it to you since 2022 when they let it out of the bag. Trump takes this, goes, what a great idea, except I'm going to declare an energy emergency and do the opposite. Because you can use an energy emergency to cut through all of the regulatory red tape. That is what he is doing. He did not do that last time. This is a game changer. So on the one hand, he's using tariffs to open markets. Hey, EU, we want you to buy $1 trillion every year of our energy or else. Or, hey, you know, I'll give you this great deal over here. You can agree to buy our energy and not from Russia. While he unleashes American energy, folks, you are going to see one heck of a boom. The only question is how long it takes. So India is about to have to make a really hard decision between us and Russia. Russia, by the way, only buys 7% of their stuff. So this should be easy for them. Why didn't anyone ever do this before? Why didn't anyone give a damn about us enough to do this before? Trade deal? What's a trade deal? Folks, as you're looking at 3% growth in what was supposed to be a recession and probably would have been, had it not been for the policies he's already put in place. I want to remind you one more time of the near disaster we dodged because Bobby Mack and I were in the middle of it. I talked about this a little bit last week. And this is one of the things I'm proudest of in my entire talk radio career. Bob and I did it. We decided to do it when we had Congress members from South Carolina preparing to vote for TPA, which was the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. Absolute disaster. And the TPPA, people don't realize how bad this was going to be. It would have taken all the power Trump has right now to cut trade deals away from Congress, but also the president, and put it in the hands of a panel of unelected bureaucrats, one each from Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam. They would set our trade. The last time I ever spoke to Trey Gowdy, he never came on the show again. He was voting for it. And he said, if we do not do this, we'll be left out of every trade deal. What it did was create a European style union ruled by unelected bureaucrats from other countries. We got one representative on that council. And he said, we'll be left behind. We'll be left out of trade deals. We'll be the end of the United States. The whole time we had this kind of power. We could just walk up to Europe and go, hey, you, yeah, you're buying $750 billion of our energy. We want no barriers to your markets. We want you to open them up for the first time since World War II. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever you want. Oh, yeah, and you're going to pay us 15% tariff to get into our markets. Just be glad you get to have access at all. Just be grateful. Oh, by the way, you're buying our semiconductors. You're going to buy all those planes and military equipment you used to make, but now we do. Yeah, you're going to buy that too. And if you don't, hey, tariff doubles from 15 to 30%. How do you like them apples? They're like, where do we sign? We had that power the whole time. The whole time. Because this is the best market on earth. And Trey Gowdy's like, well, we'll be left behind if we don't let Brunei decide. If we don't let Singapore decide. If we don't let Mexico cut our trade deals for us. Trey Gowdy's smart than that. He's just owned by them. Lindsay was for it. Tim Scott came on this station, argued with him. He was for it too. You know who killed it? Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was for it. He made her flip her position. That cost just a few votes. And then Bobby Mack and I, the first time we really rode the phones and said, hey, here's the text line. Here's the number you call. Here's how you find your Congress member. Tell him no, no, no. Mick Mulvaney was whipping votes for this. That's how much of a disaster this was. And we got him not only to stop whipping votes, but to flip his vote. We flipped several votes in the upstate. In South Carolina. And it between that and Trump, it was just enough. We dodged this bullet. Folks, do you understand something? This unelected board, through the TPP, but also through the TPPA, was also going to set our immigration policy. You heard that right. Wait. Cartel-controlled Mexico was going to set our immigration policy? Uh-huh. Peru? Yeah. Peru. Brunei? Where the hell is Brunei? I still don't know where Brunei is. I should look it up. I mean, I kind of know, but I don't really. Who the hell are these people? Why were they going to set our trade policy? Well, because we have to, Tara. We'll be left behind. No, they just wanted a world government on top of the U.S. to destroy its sovereignty. And I get it. I mean, Trey Gowdy came from the Bush era. So did Tim Scott. That's where all his money comes from. Same with Lindsey Graham. I mean, they don't like you. They don't like our country. I don't care what they say. You do a thing like this, you don't like our country. Look what Trump's done. Look what Trump has done. And what does the French prime minister say about this? About the EU deal? He called it a total submission of Europe to Trump. Yeah, it was. And they should be fortunate to access our markets. This is how you get from, dang, we're going to have a recession, to 3% growth. He's about to work India over. Folks, the guy cut the largest ever record trade deal with Japan 2 weeks ago. And then buried that with a second record. And he was going to let Brunei, I don't even know how to say the stupid country's name. I'm sure they're nice people. Mexico? Are you kidding? Mexico? Are you kidding me? The cartels own that country. Gas. Great American stupidity. We just dodged it, folks. We just dodged it. I mean, think about it. They put Trump in prison. Try put Trump in prison for 700 years to keep this from happening. To keep us from winning. They wanted to erase our borders, our sovereignty, destroy it all, give away our trade authority. And Trump said, nah, and he used it as a weapon. And look what it wrought. And this is just the beginning. What do you see we do with energy worldwide? It's so good. It's so good. I can't wait to see the next 3 years and 3% growth. Almost all of it in the private sector for the first time in a little over 3 years. Mostly was government before. But we fired a lot of those people at the federal level. It's all good, folks. It's only getting better. Can't wait to see how this story ends. For the Democrats, seizing total power, getting to the next step in their radical agenda, because it is so radical, means they need censorship. They need censorship of social media. Censorship of the culture. It's got to be fake. In other words, real things must go away by force and fake things must be put out in their place. They can't get to where they're going if they have to have a real debate. If you get to know real things, it's the most important part of our fight against them, the authoritarian regime they want to build. Folks, Trump is notching so many victories. hunting these cockroaches. It's a woman by the name. Hold on, sorry. Let me start with this. There's a woman by the name of Jan Easterly. You may not know her name, but I do, because she traumatized me with censorship on Twitter. Lost most of my following. She ran the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. It was a key hub of censorship of Americans like me, like you, during the totalitarian regime of Chairman Ho, which we call Joe Biden, our first Chinese president. So naturally, there was censorship. Well, when we dismantled that, when we took back the government, they scattered like cockroaches from the light, going into hiding, awaiting the next Democrat authoritarian regime so they can creep back out and censor us again. Now, Jan Easterly, when she ran CISA, you know what they did? In the summer of 2020, built an algorithm for mandatory deployment on social media that would censor anybody talking about election fraud and most specifically absentee ballot fraud. Now, that was weird. Because how'd you know there'd be any controversy over the election and absentee ballot fraud or any kind of fraud in the summer of 2020? The election wasn't until the fall. Well, we now know how. She built an algorithm to stop it. Any conversation. Remember, it was so bad. That algorithm was deployed not just on posts on Facebook, but in private messages. You could not private message your family. Hey, I think there was absentee ballot fraud in my state. Why? Well, because there was absentee ballot fraud all over the place. And we now know the Chinese did it. They were sending, and wait, we caught one tranche of them, 19,000 fake licenses made with real information stolen off of TikTok. Can't tell them, indistinguishable from the real thing, in order to commit absentee ballot fraud. Remember, the FBI knew about that crime, those crimes, and scrubbed all of it to help the Chinese steal the election. This is a developing story. We'll get more and more. Well, anyway, Jen Easterly was key to that. And so that little cockroach had buried into West Point. She's a graduate there, and having no job now, since we don't need government censors, she'd been offered a prestigious position there from which to brainwash the next generation in the military. Yeah, well, they just found her, dug her out, and fired her. Fantastic. Couldn't be happier. Then Donald Trump turned around and focused his sights on Brazil. The FBI has been in Brazil helping them to craft an identical censorship regime to the one Jen Easterly was running. And they've repressed half the country with it and are currently pursuing criminal charges, including against some Americans for things they've tweeted here. Donald Trump just slapped a 50% tariff on him, said, get rid of the censorship regime or we're done. Good luck selling into America. 50%. No more censorship. We're not doing this. Not doing this. Beautiful. But the censor, so folks, every bit, every day, we notch victory after little victory after little victory after little victory. But folks, there was another side of the coin of censorship. They had to completely pervert and corrupt the culture so it looked like their party culture, because only a tiny percent of people want to live with woke because it's sick and it feels dirty and wrong inherently. When you see it, it's gross, genderless, sexless. If you are sexual at all, you're gay. That is their culture. It's weird. It's a weird, it's not a natural human culture. You can't just get a society to adopt that. They'll run. It's like an instinct, like an animal from something bad and evil. They'll run. So you got to jam it down their throat with censorship. The key to that censorship regime was the Human Rights Campaign. If you want to go deep dive on that, my Battleground America podcast does that. It was a reign of terror. It was the other side of the censorship coin. Barack Obama's deputy campaign manager, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, partnered up with Larry Fink and Vanguard and all the big hedge funds. And if you didn't have a very high Human Rights Campaign score, they wouldn't buy your stock. They'd tank your stock. It didn't matter how good you're doing. You're screwed. So 535 companies agreed to their terms. You had to ensconce, bring into your company Obama's censors. You had to let them decide what's in your commercials. This is why people say, why would Bud Light put Dylan Mulvaney on a Bud Light can instead of Sidney Sweeney? That's why. They were afraid of being essentially defunded via their stock. Their stock would become persona non grata. They were forced to hire entire DEI departments of minders, 535 companies. Wall Street Journal's got a great story on this. You could find the link to it at the bottom of yesterday's Battleground America. Get it wherever your podcasts are. So, folks, This was the censor. This is why every commercial got weird. This is why no one who looks like you or thinks like you or acts like you culturally is even in commercials anymore. You've been canceled, but the weird people are there and they're trying to sell you Jaguars. And the Jaguars are painted the trans colors of pink, light pink and baby blue. This is why all of this is to make Obama happy, to remake society in his genderless, weird, bisexual image. And when Trump won, they saw the emperor had no clothes. They weren't afraid of him anymore. They said, no, we're not doing this. They all fired their DEI departments. And we've seen this, everyone from Ford to they're just firing 5 feet. So the final rebellion was the Sydney Sweeney commercial. Have you said, folks, I'd say American Eagle must have gotten how many billions of dollars worth of free advertising off that? I mean, I put a post up on it on X. It did 1.1 million. Just a random post. I'm just like a random person. I mean, it's crazy. And nothing happened. Their stock price went up 16%, not down. Now, would it 3 years ago, this wouldn't be possible. The executives would have to resign because Obama would make them. Their stock price would tank because it would be dumped by all the hedge funds and they would have to toe the line. Not anymore. So did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? Dunkin' Donuts went down. Well, we would like to have, I don't know, $5, $10 billion of free advertising too. So guess what they did? A commercial about having good genes featuring featuring Gavin Casalenjo. If you haven't seen it's a really hot show on Netflix right now. It's The Summer I Turned Pretty. He's like a heartthrob for young people. Anyway, you probably wouldn't know him, but I do. I watch that stuff sometimes. I know. It's cheesy. So I immediately knew who he was, and he's kind of a hottie. Well, hold on, wait. They put him in a Dunkin' commercial. You want to hear it? Obama never would have allowed this 3 years ago.
Look, I didn't ask to be the king of summer. It just kind of happened. This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged.
So he says he has great genes. They're going to get $5 billion with the free advertising too, and it's going to help their stock. And Obama's going to sit in his mansion on Martha's Vineyard and steam because he can't force the world to look and think and act and talk just like him. Genderless, lost, un-American, unnormal, weird. It's over. And that's awesome. Do you see Donald Trump? It looks like, I don't know, it's hard to tell from the video, but it looks like for just a second, he fell asleep yesterday with Dr. Oz at the press conference. Just a second. And the left was all over it. This was a big story yesterday, not the burn bags. They blacked that out. The fact that the real Russia collusion intelligence, you know, the intelligence showing there was no Russia hoax. There was no Russia collusion. There was no Russian interference, none of it. That they hid in burn bags in a secret room behind multiple locked doors at the FBI. Cash Patel's found it. Yeah, they blacked that out. They were all about Sleepy Don yesterday. They were all about, oh, look, he's terrible. He's a terrible president. Look at him. He's sleeping. Where were they when Joe Biden fell asleep over and over and over and over and over and over again? Barely could complete a sentence. Nowhere. Hashtag Sleepy Don was trending yesterday. It was all over their media. That's what they covered. Oh, see, look, we need 25th Amendment. We got to get rid of it. Before we go there, have you seen this in Newsweek? Headline, Donald Trump is the most successful president after 6 months since FDR. And Newsweek doesn't even like Donald Trump. The first 6 months of Donald Trump's second presidency have been the most successful of any American president since Franklin D. Roosevelt, according to an analysis conducted by Newsweek using AI. The model defines success in terms of legislative accomplishments, taking into account the degree of control over Congress each president's party enjoyed over the relevant period. So they're counting actual accomplishments, like concrete things that have been done. Most consequential, successful president since FDR. So you know what? You lefties who were tweeting Sleepy Don, if he wants to crawl under the table for a moment to have nap time in the afternoon, I don't give a damn. I do not care. In fact, I welcome him, and I kind of worry about him. I'm like, you think he's getting a little run down? I just, please, he's got to live. He's got to live, because nobody like him, not even J.D. Vance. Nobody's going to be like him. No one's going to think like him. We need him to complete this term. The country needs it. I actually worry. I mean, I just saw another video of him. He's speaking on Air Force One. His hair is like a mess. It looks like he needs a shower, and he just looks so run down, and I see what he's doing. If he had done half of what he's done, I'd be in awe, because it's way better than even last time. I didn't expect this. I really didn't. And they want to go wine sleepy Don. That's all y'all have. He's so sad. This is so pathetic. So yeah, I'm sure the guy needs a nap. What of it? What of it? And so he's cleaning up the mess Biden made while expanding markets for America. No, it's not perfect. And I'm sure there'll be things I don't like. By the way, did you see what else the left is doing? Oh, this is so desperate and totally stupid. They've got a new story. They got a new gotcha. You know the Epstein victim, Virginia Guffrey? She's his, most well-known victim. The one who got the payout from Prince Andrew. Well, Trump admitted the other day that she worked for him. And that's their big story. That's their big gotcha. See? He admitted she worked for him first and Epstein stole it. See? He knew her. And what of it? Well, bombshell, they said. Bombshell. You should go see the coverage. It's hilarious. Well, but no, it's not. She testified in 2016 ahead of the Ghislaine Maxwell case. There were suits and countersuits for libel. And she testified that she worked at Mar-a-Lago. So this is them not having anything on Epstein, but wanting to keep it going, having no accomplishments of their own and Trump accomplishing everything, that they've pulled Virginia Guffrey out of their media archives. But here's what they won't tell you. This back and forth under oath on the stand. Jeffrey told me Donald Trump's a good friend of his. Have you observed them together? And she says, no, off the top of my head, no. Did Donald Trump flirt with you? No, he didn't. Did you ever see Donald Trump at Jeffrey's home? Not that I can remember. On his island? No. Not that I can remember. In New Mexico? No, not that I can remember. In New York? Not that I can remember. Yeah, somehow that part isn't getting included in the coverage. I can't imagine why.